Open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
So last week I introduced the idea or the thought that, and I want to ask again, just so as a reminder, how many of you respond negatively when you hear the word change? How many of you say, I don't like change? If that's you, raise your hand. Yeah, there are lots of you who don't like change. How many of you respond positively to change? Okay. First service, only a few people responded. Most of you didn't raise your hand. So I'm going to assume that the people who did not raise their hands do not like change, because most people don't like change. Most of the time, change brings about thoughts of being unsure. We're fearful. We don't know what's next, what's going to happen as a result of this decision or that change or this or that. And so many times we go through life and we don't really like things to rock our boats. Anybody? Yeah, you just want to leave things alone. I like things left alone. I'm a creature of habit. But I do enjoy change, and I enjoy change. And I'm usually the one instilling lots of change. And so, therefore, I've come real adapt to change. Last week, I kind of reminded us that starting in 2020, many of us have endured lots of different changes as a result of COVID, right? But I want you to know, but long before COVID took over our world, we were a people that had already learned and begun to endure and deal with changing situations. Let me remind you of a few. We've had here in South Louisiana several major hurricanes, Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Laura and Hurricane Ida just 5-6 months ago. We've had tornadoes hit our region. We've had terrorism on our shores, right? The Twin Towers in New York City, 9/11. We had the Oklahoma City bombing. How about school shootings? How about when you older folks like me, when you were a kid, a school shooting wasn't even a thing. I mean, there were fist fights in school, but that was about it. And I mean, if every now and then somebody took a belt off and maybe hit somebody with a belt buckle, that was about as drastic as it got. Nowadays, kids are getting mad and going in school and shooting up schools. Like, that idea has radically changed the idea of school. And nowadays, most schools have those alert systems, right? They can alert you via text or phone call that there's an emergency at your school. I mean, that wasn't even a thing when we were kids, when I was a kid. Because we didn't even have cell phones, so different world back then. So besides those kinds of things, we've had economic downturns. We've had bank failures. We've had changes in government officials. And many times we look at those kinds of changes and it affects us very negatively. Am I right? Yeah. Last week, I gave you what I believe are, for the believer, four practical yet spiritual ways that you and I should respond and live our lives in this ever-changing world. And here were the four ways: holding on to this life very loosely. And so we can't put too much stock and faith in this life. We must hold on to it loosely if we're going to live in this ever-changing world. Secondly, we have to learn to choose the will of God every day. Choosing the will of God over your will. The number three is beginning to boast about what God has done in your life. How many of you often tell people what God has done in your life? I want you to know the greatest testimony of God in your life are the things he's already done. And for people to get to see and witness and be a part of that, it is a testimony of God at work in the lives of people. And then the last one was to seek to do good every day. Imagine if a church, if a people went out every day and just sought to do good things for others for no reason except just to express and show the love of God to people. Imagine how that could radically change a society. And I'm challenging you, church, to go out and begin to do for people just because. Radical thought, right? Today I want to give you the why. The why that we can do those things as believers today. The why. The impetus behind what fuels our ability to live that way. See, our why is different than most people's why. Our why has a name. And his name is Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Although everything, I want you to get this, everything in this world is subject to change except one thing. Jesus. He'll never change. Turn in your Bible, if you have one, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then in the Old Testament, turn to Malachi. And if you're Italian, it's Malachi. Yo, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Here in the Old Testament, God's telling his people through the mouthpiece of Malachi, I don't change. And because I don't change, I won't destroy you, even though your actions and your attitude over the years have given me plenty cause to destroy you. But because I am the way I am, I'm not going to destroy you because I love you. Throughout history, the people of God have continually turned away from God. We've had times, and even in current times, where we follow close to God, and there are times we follow far from God. And it's never about God. It's never God doing it. It's always us. And the people of God during that time in the Old Testament, there were times when they drew close to God, when God was the center of everything. And there were times when they repelled and they walked away from God and they turned away from God and they began to run after other idols and other gods and began to worship other things. And I want you to understand, and many times we read those words, people today, the New Testament church, we read those words and we go, we would never do that. Yet we live our lives that way every single day. There are times when we're drawing close to God and other times when going to church is the most foreign concept we could imagine. We follow God on our terms, not his. And I want you to understand, yes, although God loves us and God will allow us to follow him any way we choose to follow him, I want you to understand when you desire to live under and in the blessing of God for your life, the only way to have and live in the abundant life that God has chosen for us and provided for us is to do it his way. The church today has become so comfortable in doing it their own way, and then they get mad at God when he's not doing what his word says he'll do. I know that's tough, but I'm telling you that's the way it is. And the moment we as the church decide, I'm not going to do it my way anymore, I'm going to do it his way, is when we'll begin to see the blessing of God poured out upon our lives. At some point, the people of God maybe need to act like the people of God. Now, one of God's greatest character traits that we just talked about is that he is, here's the word, immutable, which simply means he is not able to change, that God's character will not allow for change. God cannot change if God wanted to change because God is immutable. When I was in seminary years ago, I'll never forget, we were in a class one day, and the professor brings up Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Why don't you put it up there if we can? Hebrews 13, 8. And he says, this is the verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's your assignment for next week, 10-page paper. I'm like, on that? I'm like, golly, that's a lot of pages for a few words. But as I took the Bible and I began to sit down and I began to study and I began to investigate God's unchanging nature, I could have written 50 pages and only had to write 10. And as I started to write, it was like the words just flowed because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And although we live in this ever-changing world, we never have to worry. Although everything else around us is subject to change, God never will. because of God's unchanging nature and character, we never have to fear, we never have to become anxious as things continually change. Now, today is Palm Sunday. The original Palm Sunday actually happened on March the 29th, AD 33. So we're actually a little bit past it historically. But today is being celebrated as Palm Sunday 2022 because our calendar changes. And on this day, a little over 2,000 years ago, Jesus made what is called or referred to as his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was the last time that Jesus would enter Jerusalem ever before his crucifixion. Imagine it with me. He's about to ride into town knowing that in just 5 short days, he would be crucified a criminal's death and die a criminal's death on a cross for a crime he didn't commit. Here's the story, Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say to them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Hosanna." It's an exclamation of adoration. It was at this moment, historically, that many people in the crowd had the revelation that this was God in the flesh. This was God on the earth. This was the Emmanuel that Isaiah wrote about. This is the one that we've been waiting for. And all they could do was cry out, "Hosanna," which means, "Oh, save us." I want you to understand, when God enters the picture, there should be a response. And this was God in the flesh. "Oh, save us." I want to give you today 3 important reasons why God can be our why in a world that's subject to change. The first one is the promise of his presence. Matthew 21, verse 10 says, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred." The presence of God causes a stir. When we are in the presence of God, something will always be stirred. We cannot sit still. We cannot be quiet. We cannot just ho-humly allow the presence of God to go by without an acknowledgement of the presence of God. I want you to understand, every time we come to a church service and the presence of God shows up, there should be a stir. There should be a stir in your spirit. There should be a stir in your heart. There should be a stir in your life. I never walk out of a church service the same way I came into a church service. You know why? Because even now, 22 years of walking with God and 20 of those years in full-time ministry, I still get stirred by the presence of God in my life. And I want you to know, church, we need to get stirred by the presence of God. We cannot. You ever been to some churches where the worship's good and you can sense the presence of the Lord and you raising your hands and everybody's standing there like this? I looked around one day in a church and I'm like, "Y'all hearing what I'm hearing? Y'all, this ain't happening in your life?" Because I'm worse. I know it's kind of dead in here, but I'm telling you, God's moving in this place. And if you just welcome the presence of the Lord in your church, I promise you, some stuff will get stirred. You know what happens when stuff gets stirred? People get saved. People get set free. People get their needs met. That's what happened during worship today. One of two things happens if you're walking out the same way you walked in. Number one is you either ignoring the presence or you haven't encountered the presence. And if you haven't encountered the presence, that just means that you're ignoring the presence. You can't come to a church service, not like this one, and walk out, I don't know what all the hype's all about. I don't know why they get so excited. Because the presence of Almighty God is in the room. The people that day in Jerusalem knew that something was different about this man. This was not an ordinary man. This was God in the flesh. And the human response when God enters the picture is worship. Because it caused a stir. Folks, every one of us, and listen, I don't care how you worship. You want to worship like this? You want to worship like this? You want to worship? You want to jump up and down? You want to shout? Whatever it is, whatever your style of worship is, just worship. We don't really care. It doesn't matter. Listen, some people might get offended by the way you worship, and they can move to another section. I mean, that's fine. I've heard people, man, I got distracted in church. Somebody was speaking in tongues in the section next to me. Don't get distracted. Join them. The presence of God changes the environment. Let me take you biblically to some of what I'm talking about. In Exodus chapter 33, the children of Israel had just left Egypt after their 400 years of Egyptian bondage. And they're out in the desert. And in Exodus 33, 12, Moses and God are having this conversation. And Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation, God, is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I want you to understand, when the presence of God is in the house, there's peace, there's rest. The Israelites marched in the wilderness for 40 years with a pillar of cloud leading them by day and a pillar of fire at night. The pillar of cloud was there to remind them that God was with them in the day. And the pillar of fire at night was to light up the dark places. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God doesn't come as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. He comes in you. He walks with you. He is with you, never leaving you, never forsaking you, lighting the way, leading you, always letting you know that he's with you. The presence of God goes with us. He's in us, and he gives us peace. If you find yourself not at peace in any particular moment of your life, have you called upon the presence of the Lord that dwells in you? When Jesus gets into a boat with Peter, everything changed. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 3 said, "He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break." We see here the presence of God, the presence of Jesus changing a financial situation. I want you to understand, your financial situations have the ability to change at a moment's notice when the presence of Jesus enters the picture. You guys have heard me talk about my friend Mallory. Now, he's not here today, but I hope he's watching us online. He's out of town on a vacation. Mallory Mealy owns Mealy Printing here in Covington. And many people look at Mallory and say, why? how did he get to be so successful? I'm going to tell you the secret to his success. Jesus Christ owns Mealy Printing. And he'll tell you, he told our men in our men's breakfast a couple of weeks ago, Jesus owns Mealy Printing. And when he decided Jesus was going to own Mealy Printing, everything changed. I want you to know when you decide Jesus is going to own your business, when he's going to own the profession that you serve in, or you work for, or the company that you work in. I know maybe even if you don't own the company, he can still be Lord of your life. And if he's Lord of your life and you bring him to work every day, I want you to understand the presence of God with you at work changes things. That night, Peter was like, hey, put out in the deep water and let's catch some fish. And I'm sure Peter was like, hey, look, no offense, Jesus, but we're professionals. I fish for a living. You're a weekend warrior. You bait a hook every now and again. I do this every day. We fished all night. We haven't caught a thing. And it's daytime. We don't catch fish in the day. We catch fish at night. But because you say so. When's the last time you argued with God about what you didn't want to do that he was suggesting you do because it didn't make perfect sense? I want you to understand, many times when God tells us to do things, it's not going to make perfect sense, but it's going to make perfect faith. Amen. All night, no catch. The next minute, a boat full of fish. I want you to understand, their financial situation changed in a moment. You know, your life can change in a moment the minute you invite Jesus into the boat and do what he tells you to do. Jesus can heal us. He heals us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Don't pray for God's presence. How about this? Acknowledge it. You don't have to pray for it. It's already with you. Acknowledge the presence of God. God, I need you. I need the manifest presence of Almighty God right now in my situation. How many of you worship daily? Worship is part of my daily routine. It's part of what I do every day. And in my daily worship, by myself, in my truck, I want you to understand, the presence of God shows up, not sometimes, every single time, every single day on my way to the gym. There are times I have to get to the gym and wipe the tears out of my eyes because of the time I had driving and that 13 minutes to Franco's. We invite Jesus into our lives, things change. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, he got into another boat, and his disciples followed him. And suddenly a furious storm came on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And he replied, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Listen, has Jesus been invited into your boat? Has he been invited into your life? Has he been invited into your situations? And if he is, regardless of the storms you face, I want you to know, I'd rather have Jesus sleeping in the bow of the boat than not being in the boat at all. Because if he's sleeping in the bow, all I got to do is say, yo, Jesus, storms are raging. I need you to get up and rebuke this because right now it's causing some fear. It's causing some uneasiness. Hey, you know, as a Christian, you can have a little fear. You can have a little uneasiness, but I want you to know it just can't stay. You know that storms are easier to go through when you go through it with Jesus? Even the wind and the waves obey the voice of Jesus. Listen, regardless of the size of your storm, always remember the size of your God. Number two, we have the promise of his presence. Secondly, we have the promise of his purpose. Matthew chapter 21, verse 2. He told them, go into the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt. By her, untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Look at verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. In verses 4 and 5, it says that what happened here in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday in AD 33 was to fulfill what was spoken 500 years earlier by Zechariah the prophet. When God speaks, his purpose will always be fulfilled, regardless of the amount of time from speaking to fulfillment. How many of you believe that when Zechariah spoke those words, people had to be going and pointing the finger at old Zach and saying, man, I think Zach's a false prophet. Look, all that stuff he was saying, it ain't happened. And here we are, Zechariah's now dead, it still hadn't happened. You know what? It doesn't happen. Here's the problem with God's purpose. When God speaks, it doesn't always happen on our timetable. But listen to me. If God spoke it, it'll always happen. The purpose of God will always take precedence over everything else. Isaiah 55, verse 11, the prophet Isaiah said, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Here's God speaking through Isaiah, saying, my word will always succeed in doing what it was intended to do. Are you building your life on the purposes of God? Are you building your life on the word of God or on some other flimsy foundation? Every other flimsy foundation will change, but the word of God never will. And if you build your life on the foundation of the truth, the word of Almighty God, I want you to understand, it will always happen the way God says it will. When God spoke, things happen. The problem is when we're not seeing the fruit of his speaking and none of the stuff's being fulfilled, we begin to blame God. God, your fault. How could you do this to me? How could you allow this? Listen, if you heard God say, or if the word says it, just build your life on it. My dad's got this crazy old saying he's been saying for years. My dad always thinks he's right. And he says, if I tell you the moon's made out of cheese, get your crackers. If God tells you it's going to happen, get your crackers. His purpose will always override your problems. Number three, we also have the promise of his passion. I want us to look for a minute at the Palm Sunday story, but in Luke chapter 19. Now, again, I want you to get this. Same story, just written from a slightly different perspective. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to theologically as the synoptic gospels. The word synoptic just means with one eye. In other words, we saw the same incident happened, but we talk about it from two different perspectives because we're different. It'd be like Peggy and I trying to relay a story, which we often do, and we never ever get the story the same way because she's odd and I'm not. And so, no, it's just that she's a woman, and I don't need to say anything else about that. And she always sees things different than I do. Same story, same outcome, but the events that happen are told slightly different. You know what I'm talking about? This is what happens in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So if we read it in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 37, it says, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, the religious people, said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Now look at verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. It is believed that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem because of his great love for his people. the people there in Jerusalem and the foreknowledge of knowing what would happen to that city in the very near future from that date. Well, what happened was the city would be taken over, the temple destroyed, and many of the people killed. And because of his passion, because of his love for his creation, he wept over the city. And I want you to understand today, whatever it is that you're going through, Jesus knows. And I believe that Jesus weeps passionately over the things that you're going through. I want you to wrap your head around this. You see, his passion for his people is what drove him to the cross. His passion for his people is what caused him to go into a grave and 3 days later rise from the dead. Because his desire was to spend eternity with you, his creation, in a relationship. And he couldn't do that in a grave. He had to do that out of the grave. He had to defeat death so that we could have an eternal life. Amen? Nothing that you're going through is too big or too small for God to passionately care about. I said this in the first service, and I want you to get this. If God numbered the hairs on your head, I think that he's intimately involved in the very details of your life. Of course, my head's a lot easier to number. But it wasn't always that way. But he knows how many follicles are there. And he's numbered them because he cares about every aspect of our lives. When it says God numbered the hairs on your head, he ain't worried about your hair. He's worried about you, and he cares about you, and he cares about every part of your life, and he cares about even the little things that you think are insignificant. He cares about them all. On Palm Sunday 2022, let us remember that it is the promise of God's passion that fuels our ability to weather the storms of life. Whatever it is that you're going through and however bad it may seem, I want you to realize that God passionately loves you. And because he passionately loves you, you can endure whatever change that you're facing. Would you stand with me? Three reasons God could be our why in this world of change is we have the promise of his presence, the promise of his purpose, and the promise of his passionate love for us. This morning, those of you ready to live in the promises of God and with the promises of God ever prevalent in your life, would you join me here at the altar? And I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to just get this so bad. God's presence will never leave you. He can't, because he's with you. God's purpose for you will always trump whatever it is that you're going through. And God's passion for you never wavers. Heavenly Father, we love you. We come before you this morning, God, and I thank you for the people of God here at New Beginnings, those here at the altar this morning, those watching us online, God, those who are saying, God, I want to live in the promises of God. I never want to waver from the promises. I never want to forget the promises. I never want to blame the promises, God. I am going to rely on and stand on the promises of God each and every day, regardless of what it is I'm going through. God, the promise of your presence. I will never take for granted the presence of God. I know that the presence of God causes a stir, and many times that stirring in our lives causes us us to have to make a decision, make decisions, make choices that are different than the choices that we're making today. But my prayer for the people of God is that we will allow the stirring to occur. We'll allow the change to happen in our lives, and we'll begin to walk differently. God, we don't want to leave this place the same way we came in this place, because there's been a stirring in our lives. God, the purposes of God, may they take precedence over everything that we are doing in our lives. God, never ever doing it our way again, but only doing it according to your purposes, your way, your will. And God, living knowing that you passionately, unconditionally love us so much. And God, this morning as we go, let those be the things that drive us this week leading up to crucifixion, Good Friday. We give you all our praise because you're worthy. We ask you to go with us as we go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.